is this thing? It's like a button of sort. I don't know what this is.
I don't know what that is.
Well, we just found something in the fabulous podcast studio that somebody must have left behind, which is a special treat for episode 136, but we're back.
136.
We have unknown coins left in our conference room.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that thing is either.
It's kind of neat, though.
Anyway, episode 136, we're back. And we're back with our annual Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is the obligatory Super Bowl
wrap-up
ad response podcast.
Yeah, from two unmitigated advertising experts.
Gotta do it.
We're going to criticize other people's work.
That's right.
You know? So, hey, man, it's the way the world works now. Everybody bitches and moans about if something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
All right, so Super Bowl 59 wrapped up. Thank God the Chiefs lost. I'm putting that out there. Here's a Super Bowl. Here's a piece of Super Bowl trivia for you, because Roman numerals, right, are so synonymous with the Super Bowl, and might be literally the only thing left in our society where we use Roman numerals.
I'm a fan of the Roman numerals.
I am too. Do you know the Super Bowl that did not use Roman numerals?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No, a Super Bowl historian, I am not.
They're using,
and I do not know the answer to that.
No one's going to remember this, but years ago there was.
Can I guess?
You can guess. But let me finish my story first. There was a great Super Bowl promo ad with Don Cheadle, the famous actor.
Yeah, as I love
the
voiceover.
And he was going on and on and on about Roman numerals and how badass they were. You know, it was a whole teaser thing.
For
the Super Bowl's coming. It's all about Roman numerals. And then it was boom, the Super Bowl's coming. However, there's been one Super Bowl where the logo did not use Roman numerals, and we just finished Super Bowl 59.
Yeah.
Right? So the trivia, so you want to guess which one does not
use. Yeah, I mean, a total shot in the dark, but I'm going to say carry the one.
Mm-hmm. Then I have, subtract the Pythagorean theorem.
Minus two. Okay, well, it's clearly Super Bowl 42.
You are not far off, but it is Super Bowl 50.
Super Bowl 50.
Because in Roman numerals, just L.
It's just L.
Right? So they didn't want it to be L.
Loss.
Like, yeah, because it's wins and losses and L, right? And so I believe that Super Bowl, the logo was gold, which normally it's either silver or it's colored, you know, partly the city or whatever like that, right? But it was gold and it had literally the number 50 in there. So why do I know these things?
It's actually a really good piece of trivia. Yeah. That's going to win you a pint of beer.
Well, it's because we've worked with the NFL in the past and we're both NFL fans.
So. I'm going to call that a cop out. I think that's lame.
For not going
I think it's lame.
Yeah.
I think you got to lean, big L for lame.
Yeah.
I think you got to lean into that and go, you know what? Let's figure it out and make it awesome. Don't break tradition.
Yeah. It's
I'm scared. Well,
I mean, you know, focus groups. People tell you not to do what you should do. So anyway, that's that. So Super Bowl's over. God knows when this podcast is going to come out and how relevant it's going to be. But for those listening, maybe you'll remember some of these commercials or not. I've got my
list. I guess it'll be a testament to how effective they are if people actually hear us talking about them 6 months later and remember them or not.
Well, that's a great point. And unfortunately, I would say there definitely is a trend of, hey, we spent all this money. We made this amazing commercial. And then it never kind of runs ever again. Like no derivatives thereof.
No, it's a...
You know? Like every once in a while you'll see like, oh, okay, here's the new Budweiser spot. And then you'll see that go on and on and on. But then you see like a great avocados from Mexico or you see some weird random brand and it's like, oh, that's never...
Well, they ran Dunkin' last year for a while.
Yeah.
Because they did all of the... I'm getting ahead, but they did all of the like merchandise stuff around it too, you know? Yeah.
And I think Dunkin', I mean, this is jumping right into it, but... It's universally one of the in the top five
for
best Super Bowl ads or whatever. There's a 6 minute version of that ad. Did you know that?
No.
There's like a 6 or 7
really?
Minute version. Yeah, it just goes
have
on
you watched
and
it?
On. No. I mean, who's gonna watch?
I don't have 6 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But the 1 minute version where that's the one where Belichick was in it and they kind of poked fun at Starbucks. Nobody wants a frap cap.
Yeah, and they had the whole team of Star. Yeah,
and then the guy from Succession like crawls out of the vat of beans. Like, I'm getting into character.
That Dunkin' has always been just kind of a, I mean, they make donuts, right? Yeah. They make silly, fun, sprinkled donuts. They have the, and they're just kind of a goofy brand. I've always loved their typeface, everything they've done. I've always liked that brand. And so it's perfect license for them to do something.
Zany. Yeah.
And everybody loves Affleck and everybody loves Boston and leaning into the whole thing. And, and it's great. And then they did last year, I'm assuming they did it again this year, they branded all that crazy merchandise and you could buy the sweatsuits.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they'd obviously very limited edition, but they all sold out and they all did the thing.
People are going to buy that.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, man, KFC made merch at one point and everybody sold out in like an hour
or
whatever. I mean, I don't know why people buy these guns, but like, hey, you love the brand, you know, that type of thing. So
I was going to go dark real quick.
Why?
I'm going to flip the script on that one. So other Super Bowl related ad, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Kanye and his problems.
Yeah. Did you watch the commercial?
I did watch the commercial, and backstory for everybody who doesn't know it, although you've been living under a rock if you don't know it, he is, you know, said he's a Nazi. He's a terrible person, and I'm not afraid to say that.
Yeah, he's gone crazy.
He has gone crazy, and so he duped the system by filming his iPhone ad with his new grill.
Filming his Yeezy ad with his iPhone.
Correct. They then approved it. The committee approved it because they went to Yeezy store and all the things and Okay, great. And then he pulled the bait and switch night and put up the Nazi shirt. And
So the commercial basically just says, hey, go to my store.
Yeah.
Right. And then you go to the store. There's only one item for sale and it's a swastika.
It's a swastika t-shirt.
Yeah.
And apparently he sold a bunch of them. Of course, he did because he reaches 20 billion people, you know.
It's horrible.
It's now been pulled down.
Has it?
Okay.
So
it was a Shopify store.
So it made it. I mean, it made it more than 24 hours, son.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the reports are it's sold a lot.
Wow. And it was just a Shopify store?
It was a Shopify store. So Shopify
got wind of it and
said, absolutely not. You can't do that.
Okay.
And I actually have already seen, I don't know if you saw it today. Mm-mm. Somebody posted it today. There's a video and it's, I think probably David Schwimmer led the charge because he's the one who came out against Yi and all this stuff.
David Schwimmer, of all people?
Yeah, and was like, tweeted or X'd or whatever you call it, out to Elon. I was like, you can't let him post this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, silence is, you know, complicit and all this stuff. Yeah. Anyway, long story short, they released a video today, and it's like everybody. And they're all wearing shirts with the Star of David in the middle.
Okay.
And it's a hand shooting the bird. And
nice.
And it just says, fuck Kanye. On
okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that's great.
Totally
and,
okay with that.
And it's like everybody.
Yeah, that poor guy's got mental.
I only bring that up because you know, to, merch, right?
Yeah,
to sell
yeah.
merch immediately out of the gate and whatever else, and
so
it's the dark side of Super Bowl advertising.
So let's flip to the good side. I mean, I've got my little list of random things that I liked. Do you have a list of like? Did you rank yours, or I just have some shout-outs?
No, I just made a couple of notes, things that I liked and didn't like. I had Duncan at the top of my list. I just find it entertaining.
Yeah, the Dunk Kings. I think it's fun.
You know, one thing I actually really liked the Coors Light Monday case. That whole campaign.
Well, I think that's smart because that harkens back to old school advertising where it's more than just a 30-second spot.
Yeah, it's the whole idea leading up to for those who aren't aware. It they previewed what they call a case of the Mondays, right? And it was a branded Coors Light case of beer, right?
Yeah, or Bud Light.
No, it's Coors Light.
Oh, it's Coors Light?
Yeah,
oh, yeah, it is Coors Light. You're right.
For a case of the Mondays, because as we all know, the Monday following Super Bowl is
totally sucks.
Everybody calls in sick and it's
should be
it's
a holiday.
Well, my platform is going to be Super Bowl Saturday. That's one of my foundations of my platform.
Nice.
Anyway, so they released that, which is great. It just is so, it's such a natural, it's one of those things where you go, oh, well, duh.
Yeah.
It's so easy and it's so smart. And it was great. So I think that was really well done. I'm sure they sold a ton of beer.
Yeah.
Case of the Mondays. I just thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
Enjoyed that.
I was surprised. I can't remember who came out for. I think it was Little Caesars whose commercial ran first with the with Eugene Levy's eyebrows. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
His eyebrows come off of his head and they fly around the world. Da, da, da. And then like maybe 20 minutes later of football time or whatever it was, then you had the Pringles commercial with Nick Offerman and the mustache.
Yeah.
Mustaches are flying off of everybody. You know? And I'm like,
what is going on?
What the hell is it reminded me of back, you know, in the glory days of the initial .com. And it was like, this ad's got chimpanzees in it. And then that ad's got chimps. You know, it was that we had dancing babies. And then you'd have like three or four ads that for totally unrelated brands that all had monkeys chimps or something.
Didn't E-Trade do it?
Yeah,
they had a whole, they were the whole monkey.
Yeah. And E-Trade had the little babies at one point, I think too, you know?
Yeah.
But it was reminiscent of that. Like, wait a minute, are just the same four large ad firms
was selling the same concept.
Like, what the hell's going on here? You know? So it was funny. I mean, it's like, okay, great. Yeah, Eugene Levy's famous for the eyebrows. They fly off. They go around. You know what I mean? Hey, we're selling pizza, whatever. But then it was like, I think the mustache one for me was actually better, the Pringles, because the Pringles icon, the Pringles logo is the guy with the crazy mustache.
It made more sense.
So to me, that one was more successful.
I agree.
I guess, you know?
I agree. Although Eugene Levy's eyebrows, just as an idea, is great.
And seeing him without the eyebrows was pretty funny.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot of humor for me in the thing. Like, for example, I'll just keep going with my list. You know, like the Mountain Dew
The seal. It was just weird.
Yeah, it was just what? Like, what is happening here? And like, Seal is a seal, and then they put his like freckles and puck marks on the
seal. Yeah, it was creepy, and it was...
Yeah, it was just, it was like, it kind of reminded me of old school Quiznos. Like, we're just going out of control just to go out of control.
Yeah. So there's a big risk to doing that, in my opinion. And a brand like Mountain Dew, I mean, I can hear them. A brand like Mountain Dew is like,
we can do whatever we
want. I mean, we're Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
We can be as crazy as we want to be. It's a younger audience. It's all these things. And so you do weird for... And Seal. What if Seal was actually a Seal? Yeah. And you can hear the pitch and you can hear the thing.
Sure, sure.
To me, in this case, it didn't work.
Didn't land at all for me.
Now...
Why? I have my thoughts on why. Do you know? Why do you think it didn't work?
I didn't find there to be a consistent idea and theme. It just felt cobbled together weirdness for the sake of being weird.
Yeah. I mean, Mountain Dew's always, they have a license to go crazy, but it's always been, I don't want to say an aggressive energy, but it's always been energetic.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now you have Mountain Dew with Seal, who's singing, let's call it a ballad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was like, well, ballads and Seal, Kiss from a Rose. Like,
Kiss from a Rose.
That doesn't tie to Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is like monster
Pantera.
Trucks.
We need Yeah.
So for me, that was the immediate disconnect.
Yeah.
And also it's like, man, that song was famous like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the Mountain Dew drinkers from 20 years ago will recognize that song from Batman and Robin or whatever, you know, but like.
It was a big miss for me.
Yeah,
but if I think about like by contrast, and let's talk about just silly for the sake of being silly and somebody who did it really well, not this year, but if you go back to the Old Spice campaign, right? And
amazing.
So you have Old Spice, which is, you know, Mountain Dew is like, hey, we're Mountain Dew. We can do whatever we want. Well, Old Spice is your dad's deodorant. It is the opposite of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then they just leaned into...
comedy.
Minotaurs and weird things and crazy, but each one was its own little 15-second
vignette.
Yeah. It wasn't motorboats and seals on islands. It wasn't trying to do too much. It was quirky and weird, and you didn't know why, but it was so well executed, and the casting was so great in that that it just worked.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. The seal, it was like kind of a bunch of different things put in a blender and didn't have that follow-through or that pull-through, you know?
So,
I agree. Speaking of dated references, because of, you know, the Seal song, I'd say, for me, the same thing applies for the When Harry Met Sally, Hellman's, I believe, you know, ad. It was like, okay, it's mayonnaise. And now 30 years later, we've brought back the famous scene of them, you know, and the mayonnaise is so, you know, and it's like, man, that reference is old.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you've got... Kendrick Lamar at halftime, yet you've got a 30-year-old movie reference and whatever. And I would almost argue, I was telling this to somebody, I don't know if I was telling you or not, you know, this is almost a perfect microcosm of why you should not, and I emphasize not, leak your Super Bowl commercial beforehand, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody knew this was coming. You know, it's been leaked out. We know it's going to be the reference to the famous diner scene, this and that. Well, Duke's Mayo had the best clapback on social, you know, ready to rock, already locked and loaded, you know, in terms of like, hey, with our mayo, you don't have to fake it, right? Was that sort of joke?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, perfect immediate clapback from a competitor, you know? And to me, it's like, it just felt dated and not.
I have to believe that, you know, the research department said, trust us, the audience watching the Super Bowl knows the reference. You know what I mean? Like that demo is they will get it, they will know it. But I agree with you. It still felt dated, even though everyone knows the reference for the most part, right?
Yeah. Versus a more contemporary, you know, reference, Fast and the Furious for Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
Yeah.
I felt that landed poorly as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're Fast and the Furious. That should be tied to Mountain Dew.
And I also have to believe that, you know, the younger generation as much probably isn't buying mayonnaise.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Right? I mean, 60-year-olds are buying mayonnaise.
That's true.
Generally
that's
speaking, it's more health conscious.
My kids watching the Super Bowl were not. They're like, I don't get it at all. What's happening? It's like, well, it's not for you.
It's
but
not
also,
for you.
Excellent point, Rob. They don't go to the grocery store and buy, you know, food for the family.
Not a lot of mayonnaise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I thought in the here was a big L for me
big
was
L.
The Hims spot for the.
Wasn't it like take control of your own house?
Semaglutide. So the spots, Hims is that company that makes everything from erectile dysfunction pills to weight loss pills to all this stuff.
Yeah.
The problem with Hims is none of it's FDA regulated.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know
and
that.
So there's a big gray area.
Interesting.
There.
Well, there's Hims and Hers.
Right.
Which I find interesting.
That's right. Okay. And it's hair loss. Or, I mean, it's everything.
It's all the stuff. Yeah.
It's all the things you don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
But none of that stuff is
regulated by the FDA.
Well, here's what I can tell you.
Wow.
So you have the rise of all of these weight loss drugs, love them or hate them or whatever you think about them, but the Ozempics and the Wegovys and all these things. And so their spot started with showing images of flabby Americans and, oh, we have a problem and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, and there's all these weight loss drugs and all this. And so it basically, I don't want to say fat shamed Americans, but kind of fat shamed Americans only to round the corner and say, but we have the solve.
But we're the solution.
And the problem with their solution, again, and I know way too much about this, is, and I can say I can't say for the ED pills or the hair restoration, but specifically for the semaglutide stuff, which is the same stuff that Ozempic and all these other things use, theirs is not FDA regulated.
Yeah.
Which can be problematic.
Sure.
So it's not only like, oh, hey, we're somewhat fat shaming, but then, hey, here's our stuff, but our stuff is cheap knockoff stuff of the thing.
Interesting.
So, I think for me, that was kind of a big, like, that was not very well thought out on your part. And you know, I thought that was an interesting one.
Yeah, it was a weird vibe, I think, this year for Super Bowl ads. I mean, it's you know, we get caught up in, oh, it's $6 million, it's $7 million. Now it's $8 million for 30, you know, like this thing. And having that, knowing how much it costs creates this, well, it's got to be amazing. It's got to be this. It's got to be that. You know, and it used to be so dominated by kind of dot-com-y stuff, beer, you know what I mean? A lot of booze. And it was like, hey, there wasn't really a lot of beer. I mean, Budweiser brought
the Clydesdale. You got your 2-minute Budweiser spot.
They brought the Clydesdale back, which is great.
Always well executed.
Everybody missed the Clydesdale. And he's rolling the drop keg and stuff like that. You know, I found the only one, it's one of my favorite ones actually too. The only brand that's has stuck with it and is still unbelievably consistent for us, considering like Super Bowl advertising, was Doritos.
You know,
and it's they always do a simple little 15-second, 30-second something or other. This year it was the alien, the guy's eating Doritos.
Yeah.
You know, their product is always front and center. They did have one or two years where I couldn't stand it. It was like user-generated.
They
like
did that for a few, ideas. It was a 2 or 3 years in
a row.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, come on, guys. Like, you're freaking Frito-Lay. You got money to do your own thing. Stop cheaping out on stuff. But it was funny. It's always like, you know, they had the time machine one with the cardboard box. You know, this one's the alien and the tractor beam, and then he's eating Doritos, you know. They're so product heavy. They've always been somebody's literally holding a bag of Doritos and they're eating Doritos in the ad. It's not like a bait and switch where it's like, oh, you think you're watching something and then, oh, surprise, it's Doritos.
No, you know, out of the gate.
It's always heavy, heavy Doritos. So I respect that game and I respect how consistent they've been.
I didn't like the one leading up where it was Mahomes and them sitting around eating the Doritos.
Yeah.
Only because we're all so tired of seeing this.
Guys. I agree. I'm talking about the alien one.
Yeah,
I thought that one was fun.
So. I thought the in the interest of putting down other people's work, I did not like I thought the Duracell ad where Tom Brady runs out of batteries was really stupid.
Yeah.
It felt to me, it just felt lazy.
Yeah. Tom, are you okay?
It felt, Tom, are you okay? And then the guy comes out and opens up his arm and it's like, it just felt like,
but it wasn't like
that's
like,
the best you could do. Like it just felt really lazy.
The Mannings, for those that watch a lot of football, you know, you have Eli and Peyton Manning that are constantly in commercials and are constantly very self-effacing. They make fun of themselves. Yeah. I don't think it works because Tom Brady isn't funny.
Right.
And his broadcast is not great. Like Greg Olson is a way better commentator than Brady is, you know. And Brady's a little robotic and a little stiff. So to lean into that but not make it funny. to me didn't work.
Yeah, you know? If you had Stephen A. Smith running out of batteries,
yeah,
that would be better because yeah. he's so energetic so and then energy. He dies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah.
now I'm like, really? If Tom Brady's running on Duracell, like that's
that's need, actually a really good
may
point.
Need to go Energizer Bunny yeah. on this because like, seriously. You know.
All right, what do you have any? I've already run through most of my list. Do you have any favorites or any things that's on your list that you?
I don't know.
Really
I mean,
enjoy?
I always like the Nike. Nike always does a great job. I thought that was good. Okay. They went with the full black and white, just yeah. nice contrast and just yeah. great empowering messages. They always yeah. do, which I think was great. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I had any true favorites.
Okay. All
right. You know, I put Duncan right up there at the top of my
yeah.
list.
That, as did everybody. Yeah. Because it's entertaining and it's true.
It's just funny. Yeah, it's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, my favorite, I'm going to say that no, this is on no one's list, so I'm a minority here, but I would say that for me, the one that I thought from an advertising perspective was the most kind of interesting and successful because it, outside, you know, the Coors Light was really good because the Case of the Mondays is really
just
good.
A bigger idea.
Yeah. Bigger idea. For me, Stella Artois was the winner.
Oh, the Beckhams?
And
the
that
Beckhams?
Was David Beckham. Yeah. yeah, his parents tell him he's got a twin brother. You know, who's also named David, which is kind of funny,
it was
right?
Damon, yeah.
So then he goes to, you know, he goes to find him here in America, right? And he's having a backyard grill. And what I thought was really interesting, just again, from an advertising specific, Stella Artois has always been perfection has its price.
Right.
It's premium. It's high end. We only serve it in this fancy glass with a gold rim. Like, yeah. it's always been this premium, you know, like high end beer, right? That's their jam. Yet here we've totally pivoted to, oh, Matt Damon is who plays the other David. He plays Dave, you know, like,
oh, you've got to be kidding.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but he's having a backyard barbecue.
Yeah.
Which so yeah. to me, it was interesting. It was, hey, we still have this highfalutin talent. We have David Beckham, one of the most well-known athletes in the world, pitchman, whatever, who, you know, probably has $250,000 watch on at any given time. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But the guy is Stella Artois, you know what I mean? And he's done a lot of Stella right. Artois things. But I love the positioning of, hey, it can still be an everyday yeah. man's beer too.
Yeah.
And like, oh, come to find out my genetic equal, Matt Damon, my identical twin, right. you know, like is just doing it in a backyard barbecue. Yeah. So I thought that was actually
smart.
Really,
it's smart, smart on a lot of levels. Yeah. It was well executed. Started with a smart strategy, which yeah. is exactly that. Let's make this for the everyman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it was really well thought out. Yeah. I agree. That was a good one.
Yeah. So that's my standout. That didn't make anybody's list, but I thought that was for yeah. me, I thought that was, just as a historian of advertising, it really kind of zinged for me because I was yep. like, oh, shit, this makes a lot of sense. So, but overall, you know, it's you know, I there wasn't any. I mean, if that's my favorite one and that didn't make anybody's list, I'm going to say that overall, it wasn't the most amazing batch of commercials. You know, there's no like what the you know like,
yeah.
like there's
yeah.
nothing's breaking through into popular culture, and
yeah.
and being in any.
Well,
you know.
It'll be interesting to see beating a dead horse, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens with AI in next year as a testament to how quickly technology evolves, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody this year kind of stayed away from it.
Yeah.
Most of
yeah.
the brands are like, nope, we didn't use it. We didn't touch it. We didn't do
yeah.
it. We didn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, you had obviously Google and some of the others that talked about it as a feature of their product.
Yeah, promoting
which is
it
different.
As part of their Pixel 9
yeah,
phone.
Yeah, but most agencies and brands said, nope, we didn't use any. Yeah. That was their position. I will be curious to see what happens next year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe there's some fallout from Coke doing the all AI commercial during the holidays, you know? Because that, I mean, in advertising circles, as far as I'm concerned, that got killed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I think the general top, nobody quote me on this one, but it was like 85 hours of AI rendering time.
I believe it.
To make a 15 second commercial. Like and the Coca-Cola Polar Bears, you know, that right. whole that, you know. And that commercial is awful. Like it's 15 different clips. So you're only looking at AI for 1 to 2 seconds at a time, all strung together, only for a 15 second commercial.
Right.
And like the truck delivering the Coke looks terrible. The polar bears look bad. It was just like, why did you guys lean into this and think this was such a great idea? And they like trumpeted, hey, we're doing an AI. It
well,
wasn't like,
I mean, listen,
it wasn't like we're hiding it.
It's a risk, and yeah. they better do that. I mean,
yeah.
somebody's going to do it, and somebody's going to do it well.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time.
Sure.
And you know, at least they, you know, it didn't come off so great. But
yeah.
as a global massive brand, they were like, yeah. you know what, we're going to wave the flag. We're going to do it.
Now, the everyday man isn't going to be nearly as critical as we are.
No, of course not.
They're just going to be like, oh, it's a Coke ad.
Of course not.
There's polar bears.
Of course not.
Jingle bells. Like,
yeah.
Sell more Coke, whatever. But for us, you know, and again, we're like reading articles about it and
right.
know, dissecting it and you know stuff like that. You know,
how dare you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just kind of, you know, it's like, man, you guys like
yeah.
Sunbloom, all the Sunbloom illustrations and Coca-Cola to a certain extent created the visual narrative of what we see as Santa Claus literally to this day
yeah.
through all those Sunbloom paintings, right? And so to kind of crap on all that legacy, it's
it feels,
like,
yeah, it just feels cheap.
Yeah,
it feels a little cheap.
Feels dirty. But
I feel used.
So, yeah, but, you know, I mean, it wasn't an exciting game. Right, it was kind of a blowout.
Yeah.
So I think maybe I was in tune a little bit more to the commercials, you know. But I would consider it overall kind of a meh.
Yeah, it's kind of a meh.
Meh.
Yeah, all the way around.
Yeah.
It's kind of a meh.
But all right.
A few highlights here and there. A few really really bad ones. yay! I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll look forward to next year, and I'm just hopeful we get a better game. We get two better teams.
Well, do you know where the Super Bowl is?
Next year?
Do you know where it is?
It's in Biloxi, Mississippi.
It's in San Francisco, or technically Santa Clara.
Are you going to go? No, you're not going to go.
Well, I'm only going to go if the Niners make it in. Yeah. So we'll see. But probably not. You know, it's still affordable to go to the championship game.
Yeah.
Totally not affordable to go to the Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah.
In the last championship game I went to, they lost. So it's
cursed. You're
I'm on a losing streak, man, the last decade. It sucks.
Atlanta United is going to turn around next season.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be exciting. I'm psyched.
Coming at you. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Don, where can the people find us?
Oh, I like this pivot. You can find us online at the usual socials, mocktheagency.com, or on... you know, a podcast listening device near
around
you.
Around the world.
How about that?
Globally.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. See you. Mock the podcast.